I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Immerse me in your splendour, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal won in Seville and Harry Maguire scored. It's Wednesday, 25th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you on this wonderful Wednesday. Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Brett, for sending us today's intro line. Now then, on to the Champions League. What a night, dare I say, for England.
So are you going to start this? Well, we knew you were going to start
it was
like this.
Awful to see Harry Maguire score.
Why?
Just because I'm pleased for him.
England's sunflower. It's not just him. Jude Bellingham with another winner. Yeah. Harry Kane got in on the act.
There we go.
Maguire, okay, well, there's your right, spine.
Less surprising for them two, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two of the best players in the world.
Just chipping in.
Yeah, doing their bit to be the support act to Harry Maguire's main event.
All players on form.
There's your spine.
No beef with Maguire.
Shouldn't be.
Just unbearable stuff from Speller. You've got to work with him all morning. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What's the matter?
You know what the matter is.
I want the best
the
for the country.
Got the dream.
I want the best for us.
Is that why you've got an oven ready deal for Harry Maguire to sign a new contract with Man United?
That'll do. That'll do. Manchester United won FC Copenhagen 0. A big fat 0 for the boys from Denmark. But yes, Maguire scored the winning goal. Jim, I was worried after the jubilant celebrations that it was going to be given offside.
Yeah.
And presumably you were too. No, I stunned you into silence.
I was watching the Arsenal game, obviously. So right, I wasn't worried about that.
Okay. Let's move on then.
Right, thank you, Peter.
I very much enjoyed the conduct of all of the goalkeepers in this match. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there.
It was a real goalkeeper. There was some fine goalkeeping in this match.
It's safe to say Onana would be the one that would take the bullets.
Yes, what a save. What a peach.
You saw that, did you, Jim? I can't see it. Yeah. I can't watch two games at once, can I? This can't be a revelation to anyone.
His little turtle shell. Gone, ooh, what's going on over there?
I think Andy Russell would disagree.
He's a big floating head in a jar, isn't he?
He's a multi-screen mummy.
Andy watching two games at once is a quiet night off the football. Uh-huh.
And the thing is, he's at one of the games when he's doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, can you, on the big screen at FC Wimbledon, can you put the Galatasaray game on?
Is it even a check?
No big screen at FC Wimbledon.
Is it even a cue to join a plane if Andy's not standing in front of you with a game on an iPad? Maguire, it would have been cruel to disallow that Harry Maguire goal, wouldn't it, after what the man's been through.
Yes.
Unless it was offside, in which case it would have been absolutely reasonable.
Something can be reasonable and cruel, though, can't it, Jim?
Well, I mean, bearing in mind the refereeing was a little bit patchy at times because the referee, I believe, did blow up at like 44 and a half minutes.
Did he really?
44-45 in the first.
No, weren't you watching?
In the first half, 44-45.
I wouldn't bring that argument to the table if I was you, Jim.
Well, the referee wasn't watching, yeah. Clearly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he thought, sod this, I want to see the last few minutes of the Arsenal game. The first
and the Brassers in the dressing room.
Hey, DJ. It was a funny one because, I mean, Manchester United just really sort of, what you say, scraping to a victory with that last minute or injury time penalty save against Copenhagen, who are an inferior team. Mm. You know, it shouldn't spark jubilant celebrations, but this is what football do to you, everybody. Yeah. And of course, it was the first home game since the passing of the great Sir Bobby Charlton. So it was, you know, a lot of it was great to see the Copenhagen fans chanting. There's only one Bobby Charlton as well. So there was
Ten Hag was very involved in the whole kind of like press before and talking. Yeah.
I think you have to. You're a club at that size, and you're the current custodian of it. You need to, don't you?
Exactly. And also as well, Manchester United not having the best of times. So a win's a win's a win. But in the manner of winning it like that, Jim, with that last gasp penalty save, you know, you are going to celebrate.
Oh, you've got to ignore the celebration police. You just got to ignore them every time.
Yeah, you do.
Of course. Imagine if Onana saves that penalty and everyone just like gives him a thumbs up and goes, cool. Yeah. Like, final whistle, everyone just trudges off.
A tribute to Bobby Charlton, everyone just shakes hands.
Yeah. They shrugged their shoulders and went, well, a win's a win's a win.
As a cigarette. Yeah.
But the other thing about it is, obviously, it's got to be contextual. And a lot of that kind of celebration police stuff is just an idiot like Piers Morgan needing some attention for the evening.
Richard Keys as well.
He won't miss out. Don't worry about that. But, mate, in context, actually, despite the size of club Man United are, they didn't win that game last night. I mean, they're in real serious danger of getting out of the group. Oh, so no, it's a massive moment for them.
And also, the keeper looked like a baddie in that mask. So yeah,
he did.
He just wears that now forever now.
He made some great saves.
He did make some great saves.
Do you not reckon that must affect his peripheral vision?
It looks very
Surely
much like it would do.
Not to, though, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Because, you know, your eyes can see, human eyes can see, I think, 5 or 10%. Or what's degrees behind, further back than you think.
But they're angled, aren't they, the glasses? They're not.
Well, just what you think, I suppose.
Depends what you
keep
think.
Keep it adjusted until you see the back of your head.
Tell us more, Luke.
So you think that you could just see like that?
Yeah.
This is not great for listeners.
I like it when he...
Hang on. No, you're right. I can see just behind me now. I never knew I could
do that. You
just
never look that way. No, you can see...
Things around. People are just pointing at you.
So people think you can only see 180 degrees in front of you.
Yeah.
But actually, you can see a few
further
degrees back.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm wondering whether the mask... with its eye holes cut out, maybe it needs to cut it back a bit. Have I fucking lost it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just like one of my stories. I'm enjoying it. Is this sound like?
If Pete was saying this, you'd be ripping it to shreds.
I'm only talking to you because these two have got glasses. They know nothing about it.
Unbelievable.
I can't see anything anywhere.
If you put glasses on over the mask, that would look mad, wouldn't it?
That would look mad,
That'd be great.
If you put a top hat on, he'd look mad.
I can't believe
it. Peter, what if the goalkeeper was wearing boxing gloves? Would you think that would be a bit odd?
Again, mad.
In my defence, I knew I was playing sport today and I had to wear a pair of gloves.
I have brought gloves. Have I or have I not brought gloves?
Yeah, he's wearing golf spikes.
Does it say UFC on them or not?
Yeah. Is it surprising that more goalkeepers don't wear like an Edgar Davis type set of goggles?
Why is that surprising?
What do you mean? Like, why?
Because you'd think that goalkeepers, even if they've got a tiny fraction of...
sunshine.
Less
in your eyes.
Yeah, of less kind of... perfect vision, like 2020, they want to have that corrected in some way.
Have you heard of contact lenses?
Huh?
You heard of contact lenses before?
I have heard of them.
Let us defer to Pete and Jim here.
There's some of the bathroom, I've got no cause to use them. I've never understood why you don't get sort of, you know, like not sunglasses material, but like sort of darkened contact lenses.
Yes.
Why don't you get contact lenses?
You can have completely black eyes.
I mean, that would be what it looked like, but also you could have little sunglass eyes. Yeah. Stare at the sun if you want.
Have we all lost
very focal ones?
I don't think it was...
Or what they called?
Very focal, yeah.
I don't think you would need them under the lights at Old Trafford, though.
No.
Which is when this
They're
game
crumbling.
Did
half them are off.
Did they win the game? did the goalkeeper with a mask go home with anything? He didn't.
That's true.
Half of those filaments are off.
But that wasn't due to him, though, was it?
No.
It was a great header from Maguire. No saving that. And what was nice as well is that your old friend, Jim Mesut Ozil, chipped in on X saying Harry Maguire and Andre Onana deserved this.
He didn't chip it. He struck it into the ground and it went in beautifully.
There you go. Or he slipped it through.
He also said silencing their haters.
Yes, of which I'm looking at. Some.
Well, fair enough, but I think Andrew Nana's done really badly to go in the same sentence as that because he's actually good. Yeah, he's had a bad run of form, but he's good.
But he's had some mistakes, isn't he? And obviously, as a goalkeeper, they punish you a bit more. But
do you think Garnacho helps him out a little bit, kicking the shit out of the front?
Yeah, that was naughty, wasn't it?
No one even noticed that. It was like a proper little naughty schoolboy.
It was, yeah. Well, who
got away
thought?
With it there? a young Argentinian. Yeah. Full of vigour and vim would have done such a thing.
You're still thinking about a last minute winner at Craven Cottage, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Maradona's handball.
Terry Butcher, is that you?
Oh,
is Terry Butcher still with us? He is, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes. Yeah, he is.
Well, I'm just checking.
Yeah, good place to check.
Yeah,
who's the one who always talks about stuff that he probably shouldn't?
Peter Shilton.
Member of the World Cup 90 squad that isn't Gary Lineker.
You'll find Terry Butcher on one of those, like, terrible programs where they go around haunted houses looking for ghosts, searching for Maradona so he can wring his neck.
With Pete in the background as just a punter who fancied it.
Yeah.
We met Terry Butcher. He was a lovely chap.
He wasn't. He was a dickhead. He was a dickhead.
Well, I sat down to interview him and he was lovely.
Right.
Fine, okay. I wasn't that bit.
Fine.
Okay.
The bit I was at, he was a knob.
Yeah. Well, I tipped
same
him off
car?
About you.
Yes.
Come on, Peter.
You know what they said?
I really want to
same
talk
fucking
same
car.
Same car, yes. Terry.
All right, Jake Humphreys. Yeah. I want to talk about Manchester United if we can. It's been reported that David De Gea had met up with some of the Man United players before the game.
Yeah, it's Nelson the dog stuff, isn't it?
It's big Nelson
the dog stuff.
How's the current guy doing?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why.
Dinner before the match. We've got to play.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be? I'll come to you.
I'll be in the corner with Andy Carroll. But ultimately, it's a good win for Manchester United because, as you say, I mean, they lost their previous game in the Champions League to Galatasaray, of course, and it's not a gimme in the competition.
No.
So, I mean, they'd be disappointed. I think Ten Hag said, disappointed that they didn't go on and get the second, which perhaps they should have done.
Well, they've not looked convincing, have they? Andy and I talked about them against Sheffield United in the game in which they won, but they didn't look great. They've cobbled together three wins on the spin now. They were on the wrong end of the odd goal against Bayern Munich and Galatasaray. The games they've got left in the Champions League, Bayern Munich at home, that's obviously going to be tough.
Yeah.
Because Harry Kane's going to score a hat-trick and an amazing episode of here's what you could have won.
Uh-huh.
And then they're away at Galatasaray,
always tough. Welcome to hell.
And away at Copenhagen, who they've just narrowly beaten. So, it really is. If you're a club the size of Man United, and I know they've had it a little bit tough in recent years, in a weird way, I don't know if you guys will feel the same about this. If they have like a shitty season domestically, it's like, they've had an off year, they're in transition, they don't get into the Champions League. In a way, that's kind of a little bit more understandable than not getting through your group in the Champions League because they're Manchester United and they've got such a tradition in European football now.
I think Bayern did them a solid last night beating Galatasaray. You think, fine, okay, Bayern, off you go and win the group, three wins out of three. And Manchester United will be hoping it'll be between them and Galatasaray unless Copenhagen can do something. But Copenhagen, I think, have still got to play. Would they have Bayern Munich twice? Or maybe Bayern Munich once? Either or. You would fancy the second spot to go to.
Yeah, Galatasaray obviously will go to Munich, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love the fact that in the Galatasaray, they've beat by Bayern, but I love the fact in that guy that Maracada gets a penalty. Obviously missed that one at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
And he panankers it. And he pulls off.
Absolutely.
It demands just sheer entertaining.
Even when he missed that penalty, he scored up afterwards.
Indeed.
He's out of his mind straight away, isn't
he? Yeah, it is, yeah.
But I mean, because there's not much going on up there.
Yeah. But he was involved in that penalty when his teammate passed to him and he missed Old Trafford and he just thinks...
Yeah, but it's very...
I've got to get back on the wagon.
He's done a few panankers in his time.
Yeah.
If you were going to bet when the next panenka was coming and Icardi was standing up, you'd be like, it's going to be him, isn't it?
But the fact is, though, that he's got to get back on the wagon.
Right.
Give me the penalty.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do this.
It might also be that, taking a penalty in a high-pressure situation like that is still less stressful than his home life.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
It's good to be out of the house, isn't it?
Yeah. Or it's very rare that two separate thoughts come into contact with each other. I would say.
Well, either or, he pulled it off.
But on your Man United thing, just very quickly, the reason I'm saying what I'm saying on this situation we the group they're in, it's not a tough group, is it? I mean, Bayern Munich, fine. You're always going to get a difficult team, probably. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, it could be worse. I mean, look what Newcastle have got to deal with.
Of course.
There's other tougher groups out there.
It's
not a Man City group.
No. You're looking for a result against Bayern one way or the other and to essentially come second as a reasonable
ambition,
kind of endeavour.
Man City and Arsenal usually get the nice groups in the Champions League, would you say?
Yeah, I'd be surprised that Arsenal's group was so... kind on paper this time because they've been out of it for so long.
Yeah.
It's all on the coefficient, isn't it? Yeah, but that has often historically been the case. Although yeah. City had to work for that, didn't they?
Yeah, they
because
did.
It's because of how the coefficient works.
Yeah, you kind of build it up, to be fair.
I would say on Man United, I think this, although it was, you know, a fairly underwhelming 1-0 win at home where they survived a bit of late drama, moments are so, so big in terms of the momentum of the season and even players' careers at clubs. And Onana and Maguire have both needed one and they've both got one there. And this could be really, really big for just essentially both of them being on a positive trajectory now. Like anger is a thing you can use to fuel yourself. And I think there was a feeling of that from both of those players where they sort of proved a little bit of a point and it could be something they really need. It feels like they need a bit of fuel, doesn't it? It's all a bit disjointed.
You're right. Yeah.
It definitely feels like a platform for Onana. And did you see, because he's found it tough and we all know he's a great goalkeeper, but he's found it really tough. Did you see what he shouted in celebration when he saved it as well?
Come on.
Nice it. He shouted, nice it, Pete.
Did not shout nice it. Because he would be contributing many different trademarks.
Yeah. But, yeah. That was quick work.
Very quick work.
You only coined it on Monday.
Very unlike you.
Yeah.
Well done.
Very unlike you.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Manchester United, I think that they need to show a bit more grit and whatnot. Could take a leaf out of their former manager Jose Mourinho's, but could they not? Apparently the Roma ball boys were... Well, not Roma ball boys. That would be particularly harsh if they just fined them. Roma were given a €10,000 fine due to their ball boys being too slow in the final minutes of the game against
well,
their
the ball boys often are youth players, aren't they? So Jose might be like, here's a lesson for you, lads.
Yeah.
Cough up.
Do you remember when he gave a ball boy an assist at Spurs?
Yes.
Remember that?
Right, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Jose, you can't do that.
He also, Roma won in the last minute against Monza.
Yeah.
And he got
his reaction.
They won. Stefan El-Shaarawy scored in a goal so late that it basically won them the game. And rather just celebrating with his team, Jose Mourinho got sent off for going up to the Monza manager, rubbing his eyes, pretending to cry. The man's like, he's not a young man,
it's
Mourinho.
So good. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's Monza. Yeah. There's a way to Real Madrid. They're at home to Monza.
You're a credit card.
Exactly.
Good God.
Yeah.
He's 60 years old.
It's super.
Yeah.
He'll be doing that for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And we love it, Jim.
He's been doing the hits a long time. Although he's in the third season now, isn't he? So he's probably going to move on soon.
I think we're seeing different... I think he likes it. He's that old man. He's like, no, I found a chair that I like to sit in.
We think this about him a lot, though, don't we?
True. I think he'll be Spurs manager from about April. Steer them to a really hard, battling, boring, shit on a stick sixth place.
God, I tell you what, that seems incredibly unlikely right
now. It doesn't.
But you never know. Jim Campbell, let's go to Andalusia now. Sevilla 1, Arsenal 2. A good win for Arsenal. Obviously losing their previous match on the road in the Champions League, but a welcome 3 points.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was playing Switch for most of it, but I hear it was good. No, yeah. it was really, really hard fought, actually, and it was quite a stodgy game. Other than the home game against PSV at the beginning, the two away games have been in that pattern, quite stodgy. Lens were excellent and Arsenal sort of struggled to break them down, and I'm worried it might go that way again, but
that's the way to play
it
against
moment
Arsenal.
Of magic,
isn't it? I mean,
Jesus.
I think that people will look at Arsenal and they'll think, let's stodge it up and that, you know, and all those kind of things, because Lens were brilliant.
Oh,
I mean, the atmosphere in that place, you know, back in the Champions League after a while. And I think previously, years ago, we got a famous result against Arsenal, if my memory serves me well. Forgive me if that's wrong.
Yeah, at Wembley.
That's right, yeah. 1-0, I think it was. And then in Sevilla, we know what Sevilla are capable in Europe, although, you know, it is the Champions League, not the Europa League, so you've got a chance. Mm-hmm. And they took it. But Gabriel Jesus, we'll start with the assist.
Yeah.
Jim, I put it to you. That turn was Hal Robson-Kanu-esque.
It was amazing.
It took four or five players out of the game.
Utterly glorious.
About 17
Is that
meters.
The best Cruyff turn since Big Hal?
It was brilliant. It didn't get enough credit because of the way Martinelli ran the length of the pitch and round the kick, which is also
finish.
Great.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, because he went to shoot. He went to, I don't think I'll just take it past
It's
you.
Actually in sort of a bit of a contrast to the Garnacho one for Man United. Yes. And that's not to dig Garnacho out. Obviously, he's a
younger
player.
Dig him out if you want.
But it's
dig him out like a penalty spot.
Yeah, actually, that's 1-1. He deserves it. It's about having that maturity, isn't it? To wait and to wait and to wait and to actually, even though you've got defenders bearing down on you, to not accelerate too much and pick your moment perfectly. And he did it so, so well. And then Jesus' goal was fantastic as well. Just Sevilla they weren't giving a huge amount away, so he had to craft something himself and do something a bit special.
That was a brilliant goal as well.
It was a beauty. I mean, for the defender, he's like, don't put it onto his right foot. But again, it's easier said than done.
Yeah, like it's There was a lot of players in front of him. It's difficult thing to pull off.
He said he's got a scan, so see you in January.
Twanged a hammy.
Twanged a hammy.
He says he doesn't think it's that bad, but who knows? We've all seen these situations.
Let's leave it to the doctor.
Exactly.
but a very good win. David Raya started in goal for Arsenal.
Oh, big punch party at times.
Oh, yeah. That was so good.
I don't know.
That could have overshadowed things, couldn't it?
It was like he was playing in boxing gloves towards the end.
He made a great save, which perhaps maybe one or two people missed, because I've watched the replay a few times, but the one where it was pinged off the crossbar and it was given offside, but he got fingers to that.
Yeah,
so we should
say
that was a very, very good save.
We legally have to say that's a good save.
Oh, absolutely.
It was up there with the
save. Because he's got Polaroids off us, hasn't he?
The save of the night was the Copenhagen keeper, really quick down low to his right for a crowd of players. That was a save of the night.
But in terms of headlines, it was an Arna save for the penalty.
That just seemed like such a tough save to make, though, the one the Copenhagen keeper made. But that Raya save was good because it's one of those saves where you only really properly noticed it if you watched it a few times. It's a tiny touch, but it did everything.
It seems now that if Raya's starting the big games for Arsenal, he's starting in the Champions League, this idea of switching the goalkeepers around seems to be getting less and less. And
I've been telling you this for weeks. I've literally been telling you this for weeks. Ramsdale's not going to play for Arsenal anymore.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're the only person to have thought that as well.
Yeah, well, I did say it for weeks and weeks. I said it.
Anyway, Jim, but there is some noise. The right wing media and commentators seem to think that.
GP news around there.
But Chelsea are reportedly interested in Ramsdale.
Is that just because he's a human male of fighting age?
Yeah.
Chelsea are constricting. Chelsea are fucking doing a draft.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It could be. Speaking of goalkeepers and Chelsea, well, it's nice to see Kepa doing bits in Champions League, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
Right.
Of course. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that.
He went for about a month and a half of not making a single save.
You were saying for weeks that he was good enough to play for Real Madrid, weren't you?
I pointed it out. That's all I did. I pointed it out.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
Statler and Waldorf over
there.
And
he was mean to Smokey Morris as well.
Let's not forget that.
In the League Cup final, he was mean to Smokey Morris.
I think there was a miscommunication. But anyway, it's all ancient history now. But Arsenal, they could qualify for the last 16 with a win in their next game, obviously, depending on results elsewhere. How deep do you think Arsenal could go in the competition, Jim?
How deep can you go? How deep can you go?
That's their official song for
the
Champions
League. Let him finish. You carry on for as long as you want.
No, it's all right.
It's done.
Well, it's tempting to answer that question based on sort of historic Champions League form, but it's been such a long time since we're in it. It's hard to say. I think if Arsenal come up against a Bayern or a Real Madrid or whoever, that is going to be... We simply have no frame of reference of how Arteta's team will do against
those. Last 16, then.
Last 16 quarterfinals. Actually, this season is about re-establishing themselves there.
Battered in the second round by Bayern Munich, little trip down memory lane. Yeah. We'd all enjoy that.
H would love that, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
I would hate that.
He would, yeah. Well, when Spurs win the league... Ages are going to like that very much.
It's written all over. Isn't it?
Speaking of that, there was a list published by FIFA recently of all the official agents in the game. Charlie wasn't even on it.
You had to pass an exam, didn't you?
Yeah.
Apparently, there's been a huge reduction in the amount of people on that list
because they don't want to do the exam.
They're trying to get rid of all the middlemen, I think.
Do they have to like?
Is it like a CBT test? You do it for 2 years and then.
No, Charlie Kane went on a speed awareness course on Zoom and thought it was that. He was confused why the questions were so odd.
I think it's more if your car's off the road.
I'm a qualified scuba diver now, though. So.
If your car's off the road and you get a swarm, don't you?
Yeah.
Basically Tottenham Hotspur just said, look, Charlie, put this badge on. You're not operating.
It was like when I had
the first time he's heard that this week.
When I had a radio show and an agent, he only ever did one contract. I couldn't work anywhere else. Yeah. So, and you negotiated it every year or 2 years. So, what's the point in having a bloody agent?
Why are you asking us this?
What's the point of having an agent?
Are you just realising that now? Partridge over there. When I had a radio show and an agent.
Can
I give some credit to Ben White's Logan Paul Halloween costume that he seems to be rocking now?
Yeah, he's got his haircut's terrible.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
He's a young man having fun. Maybe I just need to check my privileges.
Yeah, indeed.
You've been saying that for weeks, to be fair. Gentlemen, before we go for a break, there was some sad news yesterday. Everton chairman Bill Kenwright passed away, aged 78. Wayne Rooney was amongst those to pay tribute, saying he had a huge impact on my career. We lost Sir Bobby Charlton, and one of these prominent people in football is no longer there.
Yeah, and I think, not really the time now to go over Everton's more recent travails, because... it's not fair when a man's passed away. But one thing you could say about Bill Kenwright is a massive Everton fan. Mm-hmm. you know, lived a dream basically of running the club that he's supported his whole life. Clearly, whatever people think of his decisions, whatever he did and didn't do, he was clearly doing it with the club, you know, best interest at heart, because he was a huge fan of it. And I also have a personal amount of huge respect for him for what he's able to achieve given the background he came from, you know, proper kind of working class type.
It's a story you don't see very often.
No, and that's the thing, Pete, isn't it? He's a working class guy, did really well, big love for the arts, which is of course where he made all his money, and he's able to run his own, the club he supports at a very, very high level, Premier League level. Really, that is a thing of the past now.
I mean, it is, yeah.
Local businessmen don't run their football clubs really at Premier League level at all. So, I mean, it's just another step along the line of football going away from that kind of direction, which is really sad. So, condolences to him and his family and friends, of course.
Absolutely. Let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Ollie, I know it's half-time in the tie, but that's an incredible advantage. Do you feel like the job is done?
No, don't feel like the job is done, but it was a good job done.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's that little laugh at the end,
yeah,
isn't
it's great.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Tottenham Hotspur got the job done on Monday night against Fulham, scraping a 2-0 win.
Yeah, fuming, were you?
Yes, I was.
You were fuming in the WhatsApp group because I slagged off Calvin Bassey.
Mm. You said he'd been good for Rangers.
Yeah, he was good for Rangers, hence he got his move for Ajax. And then Andy came in with some sort of punk opinion about his time
punk
at Ajax.
Opinion.
Based on hard facts and evidence. Yeah. But he's not playing for Rangers anymore, crucially, is he?
He's not playing for them anymore. And he made a couple of errors in...
Until January when he goes back there on loan.
I suppose it's 2-0 win against Fulham. But it was all really about Tottenham Hotspur that night. 23 points. In their first 9 games under Ange Postecoglou, who's made the best start to a season of any new Premier League manager.
Yeah, he overtakes Gus Hiddink and Mike Walker. And for Spurs, he overtakes Tim Sherwood. So let's hope in the future he's spoken of in the same breath as Tim Sherwood and Mike Walker.
Let's hope in the future he ain't never felt this bad ever.
Oh, man. It's lovely for Tim Sherwood to get a footballing mensch. Doesn't often happen, of course.
Despite his continually annoying appearances on Soccer Saturday.
Yeah, but yes, a good win for Spurs.
This does feel different, doesn't it?
It does feel a lot different.
It's fair to say.
They've been fantastic every time I've seen him. Madison stepped up a level. He looks just incredible now.
I didn't think they were... Postecoglou was annoyed with his team, how they played a little bit against Fulham, and you can see what he's now demanding.
Yeah.
And in the press, you know, he's saying, OK, we've had a good start. There's no point in just kind of going, yeah, isn't it brilliant? We're winning. We are winning. Mm. Now we've got to keep doing that, and you've got to keep playing well. Mm. And look, I Spurs were always, you know, in charge in that game. Fulham, you know, should have probably scored at some point, and I thought did OK. But they're... lack of goal scoring again was evidence to see, but Spurs just picked them off, and you would have fancied them to score had they not have been, you know, handed the ball by Bassi on a couple of occasions. But Son still had a lot of work to do. It was a beautiful finish, and the Madison as well. I mean, those two are at the helm of everything that they do very, very well in an attacking sense, both on the score sheet, both throwing the darts, and you know, both are two of the inform and best players in the league right now, Jim.
Absolutely, and again, like, one of the things that's so impressive about Tottenham under Postecoglou is the sort of the swarm of them, you know, just that they just come at you and they press, and there's a sort of controlled whirlwind about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very impressive to watch. And particularly the way that a lot of these players were, you know, had played under Conte and had seemed like dead wood, really, and that they didn't really have a huge amount of value for the level that Tottenham were aiming at.
Like, well, that's Basuma, one of them off to Bayern Munich.
Well, indeed, really Basuma is a great example of how he came in with a, you know, huge reputation. Everyone was really excited about it. It didn't really work out, and then under Postecoglou, he's exactly the player he was expected to be when he joined them, and he's very, very good at improving players. Clearly, very good at improving them quickly. And, you know, it has to be said as well, he knows how to win things. He knows how to see out tournaments. And
his attitude just drips that, doesn't it? He's completely even-handed the whole time, and he seems like a really feet-on-the-ground, normal bloke who's got the control of everything that's happening. I also think that the big plus for Spurs as well, winning against Fulham, is the fact that Højbjerg played the game. And I think that there was a feeling among Spurs fans if you lose Basuma out of there, what comes along after him is kind of a bit of a drop-off. And I think you could probably argue that in certain defensive positions as well. So it remains to be seen what will happen if they get perhaps a nasty injury or something, someone that keeps a defensive player out for a while, how they're going to deal with that. But Højbjerg was decent, I mean, good enough. And really, that's what they want from a backup midfield player. He was able to shepherd them through and do what he does pretty well. I thought he actually played pretty well.
Is it a bit of a false dawn though for Spurs, simply because Liverpool went down to 10 men? Arsenal's probably the only decent side they've faced so far this season. They've had a bloody good run up to this point. I think they're going to have a very difficult Christmas period.
Well, I think that's a fair comment, that they've not had the toughest of starts to the Premier League season. However, you can only beat them to put in front of you and all that kind of stuff. But actually,
it's a hell of a platform, isn't it?
Well, that is exactly what I was going to say. They've built themselves a platform.
And also, they don't have European football. Mm. And they've gone out of the Carabao already.
That's what I was going to say. So Pete's
You say that as if it's a smart thing.
No, but it's an interesting... what's an interesting thing, though, and Pete touched on it there, weirdly enough, this is echoes of what Arsenal had last season. Quite an easy start to the season. Mm. No European football. And it seems that Spurs are basically replicating what Arsenal did in terms of the amount of points they're picking up. They have beaten Man United, lest we forget. Mm-hmm. You know, fairly, make what you will of that. But they are still Manchester United.
Yeah, I don't think that's something to scrutinise too much about the start they've had in terms of fixtures, because we've said this about Liverpool, that some of the results have been a little bit better than the performances, taking nothing away from where they are in the league. And actually, they have improved from last season. With Chelsea, some of the results quite maybe didn't match the performances, you know, in all this. Whereas Tottenham, the results and the performances have been gone hand in hand. Yeah. And I think that's the difference. I think you would fancy them, even if they were away at Manchester City, you think, oh, can Tottenham have got a chance to get something here? And that's what they've done. So I don't think it's a case of, it's been an easy start. There are no easy games in the Premier League. There are easier games. But I think that is one of the things that is very attractive about Premier League football.
Also, the context in a season like that, where, you know, there's been a big change in terms of a new manager coming in, your sort of talismanic player has left, no European football, as we say. If they lose a game now, it's, you know, it's not like a house of cards is going to collapse, is it? Yeah. That momentum is... there's a bit of give and a bit of leeway in terms of momentum.
They also don't know when
expectations are confusing.
They also don't know when they're beaten. I mean, at the turnaround against Sheffield United, 98th minute goal, 100th minute goal, went down to 10 men against Luton, still scored with 10 men. I know it's Luton, not that good, but it was away from home, could have been a sticky one, they still did it.
That's right.
So there's a lot to credit them, but I think Pete's spot on with what he says, that there are tougher challenges to come, but they can only do what they can do.
But we can say, I mean, you know, they're winning games, they're top of the league after, what is it, 9 games. People say, oh, with any title talk, you know, there won't be title talk just yet, it is too early. But just keep winning. Yeah. Just keep going. See where you are in a month's time, in 2 months' time. And
I disagree. I think you've got to respect the culture of the club.
And there's the dig, everybody.
Yeah. No, a warranted dig, because let's just not pretend that 9 Premier League games undoes all the hilarity we've seen before.
No.
It's a little plaster on the...
Look, they're having a little break from it.
Yeah. You know, a little vacation.
Yeah, let's let them enjoy this mini-retirement. Okay.
Same holiday cottage, same fucking holiday cottage.
Yes! We should say that was Jake Humphreys interviewing...
don't say it. Make the listeners find out for themselves.
Your friend and not mine, Gordon Ramsay.
I wish he was my friend. I love Gordon, but he's let himself down there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Fulham, though, Marcus, let's talk about Fulham for a sec. Marco Silva signed a new contract.
Big signing.
Fulham have had a bit of a stop-start season so far. Is that fair?
It's the goals. It literally is Mitrovic not being there.
Yeah.
They've not replaced that. And
both scored 8 goals this season.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think Fulham... I thought against Spurs, actually, considering Spurs' press is pretty good, I thought Fulham knocked it around at times very, very nicely. And they did create a few chances. Okay, maybe it was at 1-0 or 2-0 and so on. I looked at that performance and I thought, well, look at Spurs, they're flying high and so on. So I was encouraged in bits with Fulham's performance, but it is not scoring the goals. And Raul Jimenez had a chance against Spurs and you're like, oh, come on, like, just get a goal.
It was a bit of a risk, Jimenez, wasn't it? Essentially signing him in the hope that he could replicate his previous form. And is, by the sounds of it, it's not.
I quite like the signing because if he's there, you know, you need to get reinforcements in. But it is that position where Fulham need to strengthen.
Yeah, they've also got a situation where they're 13th at the moment. As you said, they can't score. And the next 3 Premier League games are tough. It's like Brighton away, Man United at home and Villa away. Mm-hmm. You could see them getting nothing out of that.
Yeah, but also though, and this is speaks into what Silva's done and the side, I could also see them getting a result or two, maybe. I don't think it's going to be 3 wins, for crying out loud, but if someone said, oh, Fulham will get 4 points from that, I think that's believable. Maybe even 2 points from that, which wouldn't be a disaster, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, I wouldn't have thought Fulham would be worried about relegation this season, only because I think the bottom 3 are looking pretty poor. Yeah.
Pretty bottom-y.
Silva's new deal is good as well, because it suggests, you know, a forthcoming period of stability for Fulham, which is what they've needed for such a long time in the Premier League in particular. And it's not to be sniffed at, even if this season isn't as good as the last one, or is maybe unspectacular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's still huge progress from just getting bombed out of the league.
Totally.
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
It's a red, white, and blue deal.
It's a lovely deal. And I think with
crucially,
Fulham,
doesn't involve a border in the Irish Sea.
That's right.
Which is very important for Marco Silva and for Fulham.
It's very strange if it did involve that. I wouldn't understand it for a moment, but still. But yeah, no, I think with Silva, Fulham finished 10th last season. It was a great season. Having said what I said about, I don't think they're going to get relegated, I still don't, but, you know, there is that still that kind of,
make sure
you stay in the league kind of
they're
thing.
They're 1 point off 10th.
Yeah.
So it's not a disaster.
It's still in the hard grasp. Let's turn our attentions to tonight. Newcastle United versus Borussia Dortmund. The Champions League is back at St. James's Park.
This is stuff, isn't it?
Since the last time. Newcastle, top of the group of death, thanks to that 4-1 win over PSG.
Yeah, it's only a couple of matches, but a good couple of matches were had. And
yeah,
I'm
definitely
bloody enjoying this.
PSG would have been, when people talk about teams that they would fancy for the Champions League, perhaps not as much in previous seasons, but PSG would maybe get a mention. AC Milan, they're not the side they used to be. Well, yes, Pirlo, Seedorf and Kaká don't play for them anymore, and they haven't done for a while, but it's still a decent AC Milan side who went far in last season's competition.
Also,
Newcastle got a point there, Jim Campbell.
They did, and there's this sense as well that everyone was excited about what St. James's Park was going to be like in terms of the atmosphere for the Champions League. And, you know, everyone was like, oh, it's probably going to be a weapon. But now we've actually seen that it does turn out like that. It's going to be probably even more so tonight.
It does. It is quite stark how different that atmosphere felt. You know, watching on television, I wasn't there like you guys, compared to how Newcastle United fans have been kind of thought of over the past few months. They have been known as being a little bit quiet and picking things up at the end of the match and stuff, but there's nobody that can deny what a huge difference that atmosphere.
It was incredible.
Let's get it right. That, you know, that is their first home game in the Champions League for 20 years. and it was a famous night. That is a night that will ring out.
Mm. Oh,
if they
absolutely.
Lost that game in a damp squib of a match, 1-0 at home, no one, people would still say, "Oh, it's a trivia question. Who was their first game, home game back in the Champions League? Who was it against?" People are never going to forget that.
That goes into the Tino hat trick.
It does. Yeah.
It goes into all that.
There are 10-year-old kids at that game last week, and they're never going to forget it.
Now, of course, you know, as time goes on, Newcastle would hope to be regulars in the Champions League, and if that happened, then that memory may not be cherished as much as the one from 20 years ago, or it was more than 20 years ago with Asprey's hat-trick because of the context. But you're right, Luke, that is a famous night. And even if Newcastle go out in the first round, people will go, yeah, but we've got the pedigree. And I think that's it. You get a huge scalp and play like they did. It wasn't a robbery, or it wasn't a backs to the walls job. They comprehensively beat one of the big boys in European football.
But they should be approaching every Champions League match like that, though, shouldn't they, really? I mean, the Premier League is such a strong league, and they play week in, week
out. But they won't be scared, Peter. That's the thing. Against Milan, it was a
nearly Halloween.
It's nearly Halloween.
Spooky time.
And that's the designated time to feel scared. But against Milan in the San Siro, there was an element of, I can't believe we're here.
Yes, yeah.
And that's fine. Of course there's going to be that. And it's kind of, okay,
Jacob Murphy smile.
But it was wonderful. But it's kind of like, let's make sure we give a good account of ourselves. Let's make sure that we don't get beat. You'll need Big Dan Burn, because Nick Pope has got to have someone to aim for on those goal kicks.
Did you enjoy those lofted smashes?
It's amazing.
I feel like you can't have a bigger target to hit, Popey.
Somebody made it. I think there's been a little bit of a redressing of a balance of how good Steven Gerrard's Crossfield Hollywood balls were. Because, like, recently it was on Twitter. Somebody tried to post loads of videos of them. Like, they're all like chest or head height for the person who's out of the way. And he's having to sort of really jump to kind of control the ball and stuff.
Tough crowd.
Having to go to Gerrard.
High standards. Well, so you want the 70-yard rating Diag to be
to
right
the
on the foot.
Okay, yeah, right on the tour, please.
I mean, Nick Pope might as well have one of those things at a car sale forecourt on the touchline.
And he's still not going to hit it.
He still wouldn't hit his head. But I also wanted to say that Newcastle, after what they've done against PSG, obviously they shouldn't be frightened to play Borussia Dortmund at home. Dortmund are obviously a good team, but you know, it stands to reason they shouldn't be intimidated. I remember Eddie Howe got quite a lot of stick, didn't he, around the start of the season, because they lost 3 Premier League games in a row. And people were saying, what's happening? They haven't lost since then.
Yeah.
So they're obviously in great form.
Did
as
you
well.
Have lost then?
Yeah. That's how you would look
did
at
you
it, Pete, for sure.
Yeah.
Did you see old Ed Howe met Kevin Keegan for the first time this week and was taking advice from old Keggy?
Yeah, see, this is the problem, isn't it? You know, Rishi Sunak's woken up this morning and gone, you know what, Shona? I think we need to have another look at this Newcastle deal. It's out there now, isn't it? It's out there in the atmosphere. Over in Saudi, someone's going, Your Excellency, I don't know how to tell you this. The oil fields are dry. They're gone. We've got nothing left.
Yeah, someone salted the earth. Jim, it's like when the election comes around next year and Sunderland famously returns their result first, don't they?
Yeah.
Tories thinking we need to start quick. Yeah. We've got to start quick.
Talking a bad start.
Get after Newcastle. Yeah. Get after them. They're proud in a shed in the Northern Premier.
People
just Kieran Trippier marauding up and down the touchline on his own.
Well, I'm a bit worried because my mum and dad have been on that stage at the Tyne Theatre.
Have they?
Yeah. With us lot when we did the show there.
That's right. Well,
this is where Keggy met Edward, is it?
Yeah.
In the Tyne Theatre.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a lovely old theatre.
Lovely, windy old venue.
Yeah. Shame it fell down, though, the other day. it's a lovely place. But Keegan was on there, and he did say that... He said, don't go down to the steps and start explaining decisions to the fans and all that kind of stuff.
You've sold your best player.
A nice grey jumper.
Yeah.
It's a bit good advice. Quite odd advice, isn't it?
Specific advice.
Don't do the shit that's really obvious that you shouldn't do.
Come on.
Just grow old and be sexist a bit.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of bants.
How do we know he wasn't always a bit sexist?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I reckon, though, when he said that, he was really trying not to sound sexist.
Yeah, of course he was,
Exactly. Oh, no!
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, Keggy, you silly old sod.
It's like you really indict yourself by accident. Like, turning up to a first date going, I haven't killed anyone. you probably haven't, but you sound like you have.
Yeah. I think I abused them.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great example. A great example.
And it should be a great game, Jim, tonight at St James's Park.
I cannot wait.
Looking forward to
it. Are you going to the game, Peter?
In my house, because I got to do a Ramble Reacts afterwards.
Oh, lovely. So the listeners get to benefit from your wisdom.
Drunken.
He had a ticket, but he went, no, I'm doing a Ramble Reacts.
You don't have to have cans.
Titties.
You don't have to. Okay.
Yeah, sounds like a sentence I'd need to hear a bit more in my life.
So you don't like football, you just like cans for the football.
Cans of football.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the Champions League tonight, Young Boys host Manchester City.
Yeah,
Manchester,
boring, isn't it?
Yeah, Manchester City unbeaten in 15 league games.
Yeah, boring.
They chose
Champions League games.
Sorry, yeah. 15 Champions League games. Thank you, Jim. They certainly not 15 league games.
Yeah. They're going to get beaten though. Going to get beaten by Young Boys.
I don't think they are. They are.
Things that are boring about this.
Yep.
Man City.
Yep.
Playing someone who is nowhere near as good as them. Mm-hmm. Man City stats, boring.
Yeah. Let me
it's literally man versus boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the worst thing ever.
Things that aren't boring about it.
Go on.
Wankdorf Stadium.
There we go.
Yeah, fine.
For some reason, despite all the fucking fiddling that Champions League and UEFA do,
careful.
They've somehow managed to allow.
Of all the words.
I didn't mean fiddling.
I didn't mean fiddling.
Admin. Of all that stuff they're doing, they've managed to allow an artificial pitch to be played in the Champions League.
Yeah.
You can't even have that in domestic football here.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
I do.
Smash it, break all of their knees.
It's like
fiddling with the pitch, aren't
they? These days, when someone puts together and sells in the idea of a plastic pitch, do you like? Would you like to have a pitch that doesn't need that much maintenance? Yes. Would you like all of your players to have crushing knee injuries at some point?
But it's
not really.
I find grass more troubling than
you would.
You're not a professional footballer.
Yeah, but I've got bad knees. I've got worse knees than all of them.
Because all you do is pick the ball out of the net.
Bending over.
Yeah.
It's an odd one, isn't it? Because with artificial pitches, you think, well, if they're playing like northern Norway or somewhere, where it snows in every month other than July for about a day or two. Whereas Switzerland's not quite like
it's
that.
It's not too bad, is
they're
it?
They're not up the old mountains, are they?
They get warm summers for sure. And I think also, I understand why you want artificial pitches that are much more playable now than they were when we were kids, for example. Sandy ones that kind of first generation ones were terrible. But at grassroots, it makes sense because it's a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
The problem you have in case Sunday football here, because of the climate, as you guys well know, is 2-3 months of the season, games just constantly called off.
Yeah.
And you end up playing double bankers at the end of the season. At this level, you don't need that. They should be forced to have a proper pitch.
Can you imagine if they played double bankers in the Champions League?
Are you mad?
It'd be great.
Hour each half.
Yeah.
Killer.
Never like that. I just want one game, 6 points.
Yeah, I'd much prefer that.
Yeah.
I can't do 90 minutes. I ain't doing 2 hours.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The pitch was, of course, criticised when Manchester United lost there 2 years ago. Will it be criticised tonight? Depends.
South of Paris. Like, why are they allowed this?
That Man United one was when, was it Luke Shaw? I think he said, obviously had particularly bad injuries in his career already. Mm-hmm. He said, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous, quite frankly. But there we are. It's the Wankdorf Stadium for you, though. Of course, Young Boys could have done worse than listening to Gary O'Neill on Monday Night Football on Sky Sports, analysing how Wolves beat Manchester City.
Yeah, he really sounded like England's next manager, didn't he?
Jim, like that.
God, look at Marcus spinning around his chair.
There you're talking.
That.
Yeah. There you're talking.
Marcus, you're like, giddy, aren't you?
Well, I know it's his DNA, but
spun round.
Because I'm a bit worried after, you know, I've always got England on the mind, as you know.
Yeah.
And now is the time to talk about England.
I don't mean this. Gary O'Neill, cards on the table. Gary O'Neill has always been one of my favourite players.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a similar age to me. Was playing for Portsmouth when I was going to watch them. So I was like, oh, what a legend kind of thing.
I remember you genuinely catching yourself saying that if Ronaldinho had trained like him, he'd have got more out of his career.
Oh, he probably would have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gary O'Neill's a legend, mate. Everyone listening to this will understand what I mean in their particular club, because they'll all have a player. When he left, I was just gutted.
Yeah.
Just absolutely gutted.
Same levels of Darren Anderson, levels of gutted.
I was younger then, so I was probably more gutted then because I just couldn't understand it. Yeah. As like I think I was about 11 then, and I was like, what has he got to Spurs? He's got everything he needs here. Do you know what I mean? Gary O'Neill, it's like, it was a pointless move. He didn't want to go to Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
His family, I don't think, even really settled
there.
All
right, get on with it. No one cares, mate.
Yeah, well, I care.
Uh-huh.
And it was great to see him actually doing amazing bits and like, on Monday Night Football, Premier League manager. It was fantastic to watch. And also, he's got the air. He's got the
same fucking player.
He's got the air. Yes. He's got the air of someone who looks really like they'd be quite thick, but he isn't thick. He's clever.
I think that's a bit harsh.
He's not. So he's clever.
Well,
would you rather look thick? Actually, Pete, would you rather look thick and
outrageous.
Be clever or the other way around?
I'd like the duck-sized elephant, please.
Yeah, you don't have to choose.
Yeah. I think, genuinely...
You know, can I just finish by saying...
Oh, please, say a bit more about Gary O'Neill.
Who
else did you like in Portsmouth in the 90s?
The other things I want to say
Alan
about
Perrin.
That transfer, Gary O'Neill from Portsmouth and Middlesbrough, I can't say, but I thank every single person on Twitter who said it for me in the replies to my tweet.
Okay, there you go. Nice little mention for Alan Perrin there from Pete Donaldson.
I was going to point out that we are running out of Garys as a society, aren't we?
People don't call their babies
Gary anymore. Ah. And Gary O'Neill really does have the potential to extend the legacy of Garys in football.
Yes.
And I think that's a nice thing.
It's like a government policy to try and get people sort of breeding more, all that kind of stuff. We need more
breeding
Garys.
Breeding more.
Get Garys.
I've missed this.
It's such a strange word to use.
Well, was it?
Breeding.
Yeah. Breed.
Let the people breed.
Sadly, it's happened.
So, you know, apparently, in 2015, only 28 Garys were born.
There you go.
Thank you. Need
as reported by the Daily Mail.
Mm. So I mean, from Gareth to Gary.
So the Garys that are around
need
to be good.
It's a progression, is it not?
It is. It's a shortening.
Yeah. Stronger Garys.
The ones we do have need to be great. The pressure on those Garys born in 2015. Right. It is massive.
Indeed. Gentlemen, I want to finish saying that elsewhere tonight, Atletico Madrid travelled to Celtic Park. And now, during the last Champions League match day, Diego Simeone was asked about pushing Feyenoord coach Arne Slot after a friendly 2 years ago. He replied, "I did it because he said I was frustrated and got angry very easily." More of that tonight, please. Yeah. It's funny because Simeone on the Beckham documentary came across as really well, jovial, laughing. I thought, this guy's very different in the dugout.
He probably had a sedative.
Yeah, maybe.
Diego Simeone, in that documentary, absolutely loved talking through the Beckham sending off.
I think he stole the show.
He loved it.
He stole the show.
By the way, guys, I won't be doing it in English, so you're going to have to translate. And I'll tell you how much of a fucking lovely time I had doing it. Thank you very much. I know I don't regret it. What's next? I was going to say, Arne Slot mentioning him. I get a lot of attention, a lot of people tweeting me about Big Pav, the famous Big Pav.
The goalkeeper.
Yeah, if you want to know what Big Pav looks like, it's basically Arne Slot.
All right.
So there you go.
Marcus, did you see the K-pop group that turned up to a gig in Dallas at the Dallas Rangers Stadium, dressed as Glaswegian football fans?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. There we are. Thanks for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join Pete and Vish tonight for Ramble Reacts after the Champions League. Patron subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. If you're not signed up yet, get over to Patreon by hitting the link in the show notes. Also, follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Keep breeding.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
I'm really torn about the Ramble Reacts tonight because I don't want you to be pissed, but I think more people will listen if you are.
I never drink in the house. I'm not going to be pissed.
I know, you're not allowed.
Not allowed.
Only on your own.
Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.